Okay, so we come to the final words of the Apostles' Creed. And it has three little sections in it. And the first one is, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I'll read you first from number 976 of the Apostles' Creed, of the Catechism, which says, the Apostles' Creed associates faith in the forgiveness of sins not only with faith in the Holy Spirit, but also with faith in the Church and in the communion of saints. That's a really nice statement, because it's easy to pull these bits of faith out into their own, isn't it, and isolate them. So in the actual creed, this is where it is in the creed is perhaps as important as what it says. So it's in the context of I believe in the Church, the communion of saints, and in the light of that, the communion of the community, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. It was when the risen, glorified Jesus gave the fullness of the Holy Spirit to his disciples, meaning to the Church, that he gave them the power and the commission to forgive sins. It's very important. It's good to notice here in John, it's not the apostles. I mean, I'm not saying it's not the apostles, sorry, it's not only the apostles. In the context of John, it's the disciples that are in the upper room. Well, disciples means everyone. And it doesn't mean they're all there, but it's not one little group that's got this thing. It's the disciples, and here's the thing. Jesus, the risen Christ, a beautiful drama here, present in the community in a mysterious way, because they don't recognise him and they... you know, they're not sure and all that, so we've got the same doubts and uncertainties that we have, but there's a faith thing underneath it all. It's the risen Christ who says, breathes on them, image, and says, receive the Holy Spirit. We couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit, but receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, you can't have the whole truth of our faith in one little line of John's Gospel. Of course you can't. But there's a psychological, rather profound thing being said there, isn't there, I think. I can think of someone in my life years ago that I hurt, and that person's never forgiven me. Well, if they don't forgive you, you're still caught a bit, aren't you? In other words, if a person retains the sin, and you can have your own experience of that, then... in a sense, you're still hooked. They have power over you because you've actually hurt them, and they won't forgive it, even though you might want, you want to, and it's a complex thing, I know. And if they don't forgive you, you're still a bit hooked, aren't you? And every time you think of it, you still haven't been freed fully from it. And only their forgiveness could free you, because the fact is you did hurt them, and they're not letting you go. So if we retain sins, in a sense, they're retained. It doesn't mean that God can't forgive or that we can't find forgiveness somewhere else. I think it's just saying, it's a positive way of saying, look, forgive, Jesus is saying. Forgive people. It's radically, well, it's important for me, for you, for all of us, for ourselves to forgive. If someone's hurt you, and I'm sure you'd, I won't go on about all this because it's so obvious. If someone's, I can't think, oh, I better finish the sentence. I can't think of anyone who's hurt me that I haven't forgiven. So it means I'm very free. Do you know what I mean? It's a very free place to be in, because you're not holding anybody. So you're not held by it. You're not hooked by it. And in my case it might have been easy, but in other cases it's not easy. But I'm sure if we don't forgive people, we're still binding ourselves too. And we're giving them that extra power. Not only did they hurt us then, but they're still hurting us now. But if someone doesn't forgive us, they have a certain power that we can't pretend isn't there. They're retaining it. So Jesus gives the Holy Spirit so that we will forgive. So that we'll... and that's the perspective of God, of course, who's constantly forgiving us. Now, We're going to look later, I'm not going to do too much on this, but you might have, I'll stop when I do this and you might have questions. We're going to look later at the sacraments through which sin is forgiven. That starts next week, actually, when we start on the second section of the Catechism, which is the sacrament, liturgy and the sacraments. It's very beautiful, much briefer than what we've done on the Creed. And we'll look at them, and you know about baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and if an adult, for example, becomes a baptized Christian, then all sins prior to that are forgiven, and there's no place for the sacrament of reconciliation prior to baptism. It just is all forgiven. We know the sacrament of penance we're all familiar with, that which is geared, we'll do it more fully later, the purpose of the sacrament of reconciliation, its key purpose is for the forgiveness of what we call mortal sin. That's what it's for. So if one has broken with the church, broken with God, killed one's own soul by behaviour that's obstinate and atrocious and life, not only life-threatening, but life-killing, so we're talking about really serious stuff here, obviously, then the sacrament of penance is a beautiful sacrament instituted by the church whereby I, if I've behaved that way, don't have to go to the whole community and explain myself to everybody because it's too complicated and too hard. I go to the leader of the community and the others trust the leader of the community, the priest, and I go to him and I express my sorrow and he makes a judgment of whether I'm fair dinkum. I just robbed someone of $1 million and they were poor, and I've done this and I've taken money that should have gone to the poor in my area and I've bought a castle in Spain with it, you know, and this is my sin and it's atrocious to have done that. And the priest says, well, I'm sorry, you'll have to sell the castle and give the money back. I can't just say, oh, okay, you're forgiven. So restitution has to come in to get it so that it's fair dinkum. I mean, you can't just hang on to the castle and say, I'm sorry. You'll have to sell that and you'll have to find ways of getting that money back into the system in some way so that the poor benefit from it who should have got it in the first place. So there's all that has to go on with this mortal sin, and we know about that, and that a person can be welcomed back into the community, and then when I turn up for communion next Sunday, and you'll all know that, well, he must have been to see the priest, it's all okay, and you welcome me. Do you know what I mean? Without me having to tell everybody. So that's what that sacrament's for. We also use it for other things, of course, for the ordinary peccadilloes of life and the little things that we do. And on this subject, which we'll do more about later, the big problem, in my view, was that when I was young, and so when most of you are young, we had mortal sins piled up as high as you could. It trivialised the whole Desh thing. It was just shocking. The things that were called mortal sin, just honestly balmy, because they weren't. So there's a heck of a lot of stuff we're not. It was a bit pharisaical, to be quite honest, and a bit we were locked into little systems, and 3.5 ounces of meat on a Friday was a mortal sin, 3 ounces was a venial sin. Well, I mean, let's be serious about life. But, I mean, are you with me on that? I don't want to go into all that. It was a sad time we grew up in, a good time in many ways, but in this area it was. So that has to be said. But the sacrament of penance is there, but it's also there for spiritual direction. If you find a priest you can talk to, and hopefully you can, because you just can't be automatic. And it's a time for tuning up our conscience and being sensitive to the least things that we're doing wrong. So it's a lovely sacrament when done well. And we'll do it later. This one might come as a surprise to you. It's a thing that is that the main sacrament for the forgiveness of sins is the Eucharist. Because 99.9% and maybe 100% of the sins that we're caught up in are not mortal. They're venial sins. In other words, they're pardonable sins. They're important, and we've got to take them really seriously because it's a bad thing to be doing. But the sacrament that actually heals them is Jesus' embrace in communion. It's the presence of Jesus coming into our soul. The light dashes the darkness away, so they're gone. And that's something we need to reflect on a lot more when we're disappointed, if you're disappointed, that, you know, fewer people are coming to the sacrament of penance now than used to when I was a boy, when we went every week. It was a practice. And I don't know that it did well, I'm sorry. It might have done us harm. But it if you had a reasonably good, sensible family and a reasonable sense of yourself, it probably did us good because we became tuned to not being bad with our little sister or being obedient to our parent. You know, we became sensitive to these little things in us that could take us in a bad direction. So I don't want to completely knock it. But if you were in a family where you didn't have a good sense of self, you could easily have gone into scruples, and many people did, and quite pathetic repetition of sins. So you're locked into a place that's not very free. So it wasn't all good, it wasn't all bad. But the sacrament of the Eucharist, you can't go wrong with that. And it's the place where our ordinary sins are forgiven just by love. I'll take that as obvious, but we'll do more on it later. Baptism unites us with Christ. We're no longer locked into the sin of our origins, original sin. We've done that earlier. I won't go into it again now with you. And so we can walk in newness of life. Now that's true when you think of the sacrament. You've got to think of an adult primarily, because Christianity is an adult thing really, and little children are kind of brought into it beautifully. But that's the if I'm 60 when I become a Christian, or like 35, like St. Augustine, or whatever age a person comes in and baptized, then the sin of our origins we're liberated from. We're given a new way of life, a new light to the world, a new consecration, a new way of looking at things, and we're kind of not locked in anymore to the polluted world into which we were. We didn't know any better beforehand. We're now given another view, another look, another place, another community, another message, another. So it frees us from those sins of our origins, being locked into them, I mean. And we can walk in newness of life, and all personal sin is forgiven. Penance, we've just talked about. And then here's St. Ambrose. The Lord wills that his disciples possess a tremendous power. His disciples possess a tremendous power, that his lowly servants accomplish in his name all that he did when he was on earth. So this forgiveness is something we do for each other. There is still a place, of course, for the priest in this, and the sacrament of reconciliation. I've already talked about that. But often enough, you'll actually get, if you hurt your husband and you come to me as a priest in confession and tell me and don't tell him, I think it'd be a lot better to tell him, like to apologise to him, do you know what I mean? That's more likely to produce forgiveness than telling me. So it's not a magic wand here. So most of our sins are forgiven by each other, by the people that we hurt. That's how, and we're all given this wonderful grace. That's what we say in the Our Father every day. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. So our learning to forgive will help others learn to forgive us, hopefully. They may or they may not. But that's that wonderful gift given to all of us by the risen Christ, the whole community. Here's St. Augustine. Were there no forgiveness of sins in the church, there'd be no hope of life to come or eternal liberation. Let us thank God who has given the church such a gift. Because we're not innocent, any of us. And if you only love someone when they're lovable or innocent, we'd soon stop loving anybody. So we've got to love, and we've got to give each other time to learn. And we've got to give each other time to make mistakes too, and to be forgiven those mistakes. And you know all that from your relationships. That's how it works. So we've got to have a very compassionate, loving, ready to forgive heart like Jesus. And he gives us his Spirit so that we'll do it. So I believe in the forgiveness of sins is a wonderful statement, because it's not difficult, is it, to be locked into things we've done wrong and can be locked in forever if we're not careful. Other people can lock us in, as I've already said, try to. But if we lock ourselves in to what we did, I don't have to convince you to do it. We're doing ourselves intolerable harm, and we need love to come along and say, it's okay. You can don't do it again. Like, yeah, we've got to learn. And we're not dismissing what we did, and we're not refusing and saying and pretending. No, face it, admit it, acknowledge it, and then love will help you learn from it and then continue on. So I think that's all I wanted to say about forgiveness of sins to you now. I'll just look at the word is worth looking at just for a minute. Forgiveness. That's a typical noun ending in English, as you very well know. So let's go to the verb forgive. And I imagine you can see the word give is at the centre of it. This is the English word now. And for has a number of, when it's an adverbial preposition, it means a lot of the for. It can mean to give for, if I forgive you, if I give myself for you. That's one way of thinking. But it actually probably means, to forgive means to give and give and give and give. I keep giving myself, my real self, to you, even when you hurt me. And if I continue to give myself, well, you know you're forgiven. If you've hurt someone and they say, oh, it's all right, you're forgiven, and they don't give anything of themselves to you, you know you're not forgiven, don't you? But the words are there, but not the reality. But if someone, even without the words, continues to give you love when you've hurt them, that's very redeeming and wonderful and liberating and graceful, and that's what real forgiveness is. And we're doing it all the time, thanks to the Spirit of Jesus, because it's sometimes not at all easy.